This is John Batchelor speaking with biologist Danielle Claude of South Australia about the koala. The koala is a phenomenon of Australia. It joins with all the other animals in Australia to make up animals that we have nothing like in North America, except for one, the opossum. That is similar to the range of animals in Australia. The koala gets the most attention because it's attractive looking. Looks like a bear. It's not a bear. It's a koala. And here, Daniel describes what makes the koalas even more special. They eat eucalyptus leaves. Eucalyptus leaves are very tough to eat. They're filled with poison. Why? Because eucalyptus don't want to be eaten. They want to exist on the trees. Koalas do very well with them because they have a cecum. A cecum is also in human beings. We call it the appendix, and we generally regard it as useless. At least Darwin believed it was useless, and that's why often it can be a source of infection or it is removed. But the cecum is critical to the koala's ability to digest eucalyptus. Here Danielle describes the process. This is Danielle Claude, the biologist from South Australia. Her new book is Koala.
I hope not. I mean, people still shoot birds, certainly in Europe and America, you know. But what happened here was that, as you say, this was driven by, I suppose, what you'd call posh rich women in New York, in Paris, in London. They wanted to outdo their friends, and they did so, first by wearing ostrich feathers, which were farmed, so that was less of a problem, but then from feathers of wild birds. And not just feathers, people would wear things like a hummingbird as a brooch on their, you know, a dead one on their dress. And the demand for feathers was huge. And of course, where there's demand, there's money to be made. And so men in Florida, ordinary men, would go out and they would kill these birds like snow egrets that nest in big colonies. So you could go in with a boat and you could perhaps kill hundreds of birds in one go. And then they would sell perhaps for a dollar or two each pile of feathers. But those feathers were ultimately sold at prices equivalent to the same weight as gold. So this was a massive industry, huge industry. People were making big profits. And then one day, a young man called Guy Bradley, who'd been he'd helped the shooters himself when he was young, but by his 20s, 30s, late 30s, he'd become a warden, become a ranger in the early days, encouraged by people like Teddy Roosevelt, who was a remarkable conservationist in his own right, as well as being president. And so Guy Bradley confronted a man and his sons who were collecting the egrets. He caught them red-handed and they shot him. They shot him dead. And this became this story from Florida. It went up to New York. It went across to LA and San Francisco. It went to the big cities in America and caused outrage. And it eventually took another 20 years, but it led to the end of the plumage industry because people were so shocked by this.
Simultaneously or in parallel, there's the development of what we in America call the Audubon Society and what in Britain is the Royal Society for the Protection of Birds. Although there was another founding group called the Fur Fins and Feathers Folk. I love that one.
They joined forces with the Society for the Protection of Birds to eventually become the Royal Society, as you say. But these were, again, what was great about this was these societies were, Audubon and RSPB, were started, founded, run, and promoted by women. And this was a time, certainly in the United Kingdom, where women did not have the vote for another 20 or 30 years. And I think the same is true in the United States. So these women were outraged by the cruelty of these poor birds dying in their millions, and also the fact that they were going to eventually go extinct. And the snow egret nearly followed the dodo and the grey auk and the passenger pigeon down that line. So these women were very, very determined, and they started these societies that we are still members of and still love today.
Thank you.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.